Welcome to Offscreen Babble with Sade and Kyle, where we talk about TV shows and movies we've seen recently. Today is episode 141, Pen 15 Season 2 Review and Spoilers.
And if you're a returning listener, please make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and also make sure to subscribe.
And make sure to check out our show notes where you can see what we talk about at what time, so you can skip ahead and avoid spoilers.
Okay, today we are talking about Season 2 of Pen 15. Before we get into our review and spoilers, I want to mention a video I just posted on YouTube about Pen 15, specifically about their episode Posh.
Which is from Season 1.
Yeah, in Season 1. So obviously, if you're listening to this episode, you probably have watched Pen 15 already. That episode deals with racism, and I kind of went into how Maya and Anna dealt with it. And I think that even if you haven't seen Pen 15, which I don't know how you would be listening to this episode if you haven't, I think you could still enjoy the video because I focus more on the serious aspect of the episode. And I think that the episode's still really funny, which I didn't highlight in my video. I'm talking about serious stuff, but I think you would enjoy it either way. But I'm going to include the first part of the video in this episode right now. But of course, the best experience would be to watch the video. I'll include a link in the description. And yeah, here is the intro. The Spice Girls are a girl group that was hugely popular in the mid to late 90s. Their popularity started to dwindle by 2000, but that didn't matter to their young fans. What mattered was which Spice Girl you identified with when you inevitably played Spice Girls with your friends. If you were athletic, you obviously wanted to be sporty. Love baby doll dresses? Then baby's your girl. Into fashion? Well, Posh wears little black dresses and designer brands. Or maybe you feel like you're too good for the group and then realize you actually need the group. Then you're Ginger Spice. Just kidding, I assume everyone who wanted to be Ginger was very aware that she was perceived as the sexiest and wanted to align themselves with that. Finally, Scary Spice, who was given the name Scary because, Honestly, I assume people who picked Scary Spice either loved animal print or were just happy to feel represented by a black woman and the only woman of color in a popular girl group. Mel B, who is Scary Spice, has explained the name choice.
So we had this one journalist that I guess was extremely lazy, couldn't be bothered to remember all of our names and just gave us like nicknames. Like, oh yeah, that one's a bit scary, that one is a bit posh, that one's a bit sporty, that one's a bit baby, and they just kind of stuck. I like mine because at least I'm scaring people before I even walk in the room. So watch out.
I'm glad that Mel B likes her name. But as a black woman myself, who was a black girl during the Spice Girls peak, it felt like she was named Scary because she's black. And regardless of the needed representation, her name and packaged persona felt racist. Black people being referred to as scary is not new and wasn't new then. And in white spaces, someone who isn't white being othered and labeled as scary also isn't new. In Season 1 of the comedy series Pen 15, an episode used the Spice Girls to show two 13-year-olds learning about racism. Let's babble about Pen 15, Season 1, Episode 6, Posh. Pen 15 is about two 13-year-old best friends starting the 7th grade in the year 2000. The humor centers around early 2000s references, puberty and the awkwardness of being 13, and the fact that our two main characters, Maya and Anna, are played by adults surrounded by actual 13-year-olds. In the episode Posh, Maya and Anna are working on a group project at Maya's house. The project is about osteoporosis.
So just to go over it, you guys, so we're the Old Spice Girls and we like can't sing or dance because we have osteoporosis, so we need milk so that we, and then we drink it and we get strong and then we fight dance.
Okay. I'll be discussing how Maya and Anna deal with racism that arises from their group project.
Like, yo, my cardio is infinite. Big Willie style's all in it, getting jiggy with it.
Okay, now we are talking about Season 2 of Pen 15. We talked about Season 1, I think, two times last year. One, we were like, yeah, it's really funny. And then, like, by the end of the season, we were like, okay, we need to do a whole episode on this. This was just like a great experience. And we went into detail on every single episode, really enjoyed it. I think this time around, we're going to kind of go through the whole season. I'll try to highlight each episode, but it's going to just be a mixture of everything, kind of maybe not going in exact order. I think just in case somebody's unfamiliar with Pen 15, I'll read the IMDb synopsis. The comedic story of middle school seen through the eyes of two seventh grade girls dealing with the awkwardness of being a teenager. The show is set in 2000, and our two main characters, Maya and Anna, are played by adults. So I think that's where a lot of the comedy comes from. And I think I've heard them say that it's like a rated R version of middle school. That's how they've tried to sell the show. And I think that's accurate. And I was listening to them do a interview that I'll include the link to this podcast episode. But basically, they were trying to say, like, you know, people don't show how seventh grade, there's a lot of stuff that happens to you in middle school that's about you growing up. And it's not all like peachy and nice and, you know, like, just, I'm just a little kid. It's like very like you're growing up, I guess, is where their point is.
And I think a lot of more adult themes than you remember and stuff.
Exactly. I think a lot of that, they, at least in media, they tend to focus that on high school.
Yeah.
But a lot of that actually really starts before you get into high school. And yeah. I think the show highlights that. And it's just super funny. I think the show's very funny. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely funny.
So yeah, that's just the show as a whole. We really enjoyed season two. I'm trying to do as much non-spoilery stuff as I can before we get into this because the rest of the conversation is going to be spoilers.
I'll say season two, I like the show. I think it's really good. You like it more than me, for sure.
Sure.
I think the second season was, I guess, like just as good as the first season, but in a different way. It had some more serious topics that it covered and had some sadness and stuff, which the first one was more straight up comedy, and, you know, some moments like that, but this definitely leaned more into that.
I think the first season focused on like the awkwardness of seventh grade, and, you know, while there were some serious moments, a lot of the serious moments were being like, wow, I can't believe they're getting mad about that, they're so young, you know, like, oh, so dramatic or whatever. And versus second season, the serious stuff was like, yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
This is hard. Like, this is stuff that happens to people, or at least that you can understand how they feel. And it's very difficult. And that, and it happens at that age. And so I think it was still funny, but it definitely, like, by the end of this season, I was sad for a lot of the characters. I was just like, oh, man, like, this sucks. So, I think that's good that the show kind of went a different direction to kind of show, like, let's go further into what it is to be this age. It's not just like us overreacting. Sometimes it's like rightfully trying to process certain things that are very difficult.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think we're going to get into spoilery reviews now, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
There's not much to say about this unless you're going to spoil it. And I think most people listening to this have watched the show. So, and if you haven't, watch it. It's very funny. But yeah, okay, let's get into spoilers for this. So the season, I would say, well, first off, the season is 7 episodes. And from what I can tell from that interview that I referenced earlier from another podcast that I heard them on, the season was split into 2. So there's like a 2A and a 2B. And so this season kind of ends not really on a cliffhanger, but it ends in a way where you're like, what's going to happen next? Like, you want to see what's happening next. And I think the story obviously is going to continue in 2B. I think also, like, as a whole, the themes of this are, I think, kind of depression.
Yeah.
Also how girls are treated by society view, like regarding sexuality and how boys are treated, like just the difference in, I guess, public like image. Essentially, I'm trying to say like regarding like anything sexual, girls are like, wow, I can't believe you would do that. Da-da-da-da. Versus the guy like, oh, okay, that's fine, whatever. And it's a lot of like slut shaming.
Yeah.
Essentially. Yeah. So like, even though the guy was there, and they make a point to bring that up when Maya and Anna are talking, I think Maya's like, oh yeah, they're calling us sluts. And then Anna's like, yeah, but so is his name Brett or Brent? I need to look up the cast name.
Yeah. But like Brent or something.
The other kid, they're like, well, he's a slut too. And it's like, true. Okay. If we're going to be calling people sluts, I guess that's accurate. However, that's not how they're treated.
Yeah.
Right?
Maya says, no, he's a playa.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So
it's like, oh, because that was like very clearly them saying like, oh, for us, that's bad, but for him, it's cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
so the double standard.
I think that's something that you are taught at a young age. And it's obviously stupid, but that is the reality, especially in 2000, right?
Yeah.
That's the reality of what they're living with. So this season picks up right where season one ends. The dance, I think it's like 3 days after the dance. After the thing that I think is so funny about this is because they're talking about serious stuff, but also because they're so young, the things that they're saying don't make sense. Like, they keep referring to what happened in that closet as a threesome, and it's absolutely not a threesome.
Well, they kind of did that, but then also they were referring to dancing with two other people as a threesome at one point.
Okay.
So it got worse.
Yeah. So they keep calling things threesomes that aren't threesomes.
Yeah.
But for a 13-year-old, I guess that's a threesome. Or a 7th grader, that's a threesome. Whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Maya, I think, through this season is kind of experiencing, like, boy obsession. Like, kind of getting a little too into it. And I think they showed, like, for instance, I love watching Bob's Burgers, and Tina is like, they always refer to her as boy crazy or something like that. And it's, you know, funny or whatever. But there are times, even when I'm watching one, I'm like, ooh, Tina, this is not good.
Yeah.
This is a little concerning. And I think this show showcased, like, ooh, Maya, this isn't good.
Yeah.
This is like, especially, I mean, I feel like sometimes throughout this conversation, especially, we're going to be saying girls do this and boys do this. I'm not trying to say that that is something like I'm personally believe, but I'm trying to say that it's showcasing this in this show. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, Maya, her actions, she has this interaction with Brant, I think that's his name.
Oh.
Brant, okay. And he is very standoffish. He likes her, but doesn't want to admit to liking her because he is very aware of his popularity and she's not popular and she, you know, all this stuff. And he's kind of a dick and he barely talks, but she's just like obsessed with him after this interaction. Even though, like, do you remember in the first episode where he called her Eugis, like ugliest girl in school, and then they get in that fight and she learns how to like kind of shit talk from her brother.
Oh, yeah, and she said something about
she goes too far and she's like, and that's why your dad died.
Like that.
And then she's like, oh, nailed it. Yeah. Like, she's super excited about like, she thinks she owned him, which I guess she
I forget
did.
That was him that she
it was
did.
Him. So it's crazy. I think this show also highlights the multiple interactions and relationships you can have with someone at that age. In season one, episode one, this kid was making fun of her openly, and she said his dad died, right?
Yeah.
In front of everyone. To season two, her being obsessed with him romantically, right? And this is all within like weeks of school just starting. And you know, like the emotional roller coaster this is, I think really highlights what it's like to be that age, because week one, you could hate this person. And week eight, you are like maybe in a relationship with them or something.
Not my experience, but I know a lot of other people were like that.
Yes, yes. And so,
like, once my opinion's there, it's pretty solid for a while.
Okay, sure. Yes, you were a 40-year-old man when you were in seventh grade.
Yes, that's correct.
But yeah, for Maya, she is dealing with that. She also was dealing with the previous season of getting her period and not really wanting that, knowing that she has maybe, at least through puberty, has changed and is growing up. Even though, like, it's so interesting because it's like all these conflicting feelings. They want to be grown, but then she's actually growing up and then she's fighting this. And that's going to come up later in a later episode. But her thing is just like she's really trying to talk to this guy who's really not wanting to publicly be associated with her, but it's okay talking to her when no one else is there, but that's kind of impossible. And yeah, it's just really sad because Maya doesn't understand that. She doesn't pick up on that. I think when you're older, you would be able to recognize like, wow, this person's embarrassed. I should stop talking to them because they don't value me enough as a person, you know? But yeah, so what did you think about Maya's journey throughout this? Maya goes through some other stuff, but let's just talk about her obsession.
Yeah, I think it definitely highlighted something that happens with, you know, some people around that age for sure. And yeah, it was quite a journey. It went pretty deep in there, and you're like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? And, you know, it took quite a lot for her to pull back from that. So
I'll say this, with episode one, Pool, and episode two, Wrestle, I think you're really seeing the peaks of that. So in Pool, what I really liked was at the beginning, when they're like, ugh, okay, let's go to this pool party, I guess, like, whatever. And it's just like, I think it's really interesting because I recently did that video on eighth grade and rewatched it, and they also had a pool party, but it was obviously set like in 2018. And so that pool party was like a really nice house and like tons of kids. It still was like eighth graders having a pool party.
Yeah.
But this pool party in Pen 15 felt so accurate, especially for 2000, because it's like, it's a little lackluster. It's not that cool, but for them, it's like, yeah, we're just going to a pool party, whatever. It's like this thing, you know, like, it's like a huge thing for them. Like, she exits the van and won't close the door because obviously her entrance is cooler.
I mean,
going
that
back
was multiple times.
Yeah, she does do that. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But the thing that I thought was funny was that when they're in the pool, they're like, okay, we don't want drama. We don't want to start drama, okay?
Yeah.
But why don't you go to that boy and I go to this boy and let's start drama? Like, they clearly are like,
that is definitely something that would happen.
Yes, it's definitely something that would happen. And I think it's very interesting. People do that at any age. We're like, I don't want drama, but let me tell you the most dramatic thing in the world right now.
Yeah.
But I think especially at that age, it's like, yeah, I don't want drama. But okay, you go to that boy and I go to this boy and we're going to talk about dramatic stuff and it might start something.
Yeah.
And then it's always like weak because Anna goes up to Sam and says like, that's not nice that you were catfishing her.
She's like, that's not nice or whatever.
Yeah. she's trying to act cool. And he's just kind of like, okay, I already said sorry. Like whatever, you know, like he's very like not playing into it.
Yeah.
And then Maya, I think, talks to Anna's ex and he's just like, yeah, I'm over it. And again, this is within days of them breaking up because now he has a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's all very quick, but they didn't get the reactions I think they wanted, which was for them to also be dramatic about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, the pool party for Maya is just her running around trying to get Brant to admit that it happened and try to get his attention, and it never really happens. The wrestling thing, she joins the wrestling team because she wants to be near him. And mm-hmm. it's now getting to levels where, like, if we look at this with a serious lens, it's getting to levels where it's like, girl, like, I think the seriousness of this is, like, you have to worry about her kind of stalking him. It is funny, kind of, at the beginning of that wrestling episode, you could hear her inner thoughts, like, maybe I'm just following you. Like, you know, like, her, you could hear kind of what her thoughts are. And, like, he turns around and he doesn't see her. And then all of a sudden she's in frame. It's like a horror film. And I think that while it's funny, it's also troubling, right?
Well, I think maybe that's what they're saying with it also feeling like a horror film.
True.
It's like, this is not a positive.
Exactly. While it's funny, it's also like, at a certain point, this boy, like, I get it. He's kind of sending her some mixed messages. So she's confused and thinks that she needs to do this. But overall, it's like, uh-oh, this is too much and it's getting a little scary. Let's talk about Anna in the first two episodes. Okay, so Anna is her thing. One of her things that she's dealing with instead of, like, Maya's obsession is her parents' divorce. Mm-hmm. And the actress who plays Anna Conkle, I believe that's her name, she explained that a lot of this comes from her real life, and her parents did get divorced, and then they lived with each other for, like, 2 years in the same house and kind of split up the house, and how that obviously...
2 years?
Yeah. Oh, I think on the show, they're only having them live together for, like, a few weeks.
Yeah.
But...
wow, I can't imagine 2 years.
Yeah, she kind of described, like, yeah, it wasn't the best, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
split up the house? Oh my God.
Yeah. And I think that for Anna, she's dealing with her family, you know, splitting and not wanting that to happen. She's also, I think, experiencing depression. Possibly because of the family stuff too, but it might also just be overall she's just experiencing depression. And I think while in the first episode when she realizes that, what's the guy's name? Brandon? I think it's
Which
Brandon.
One?
Her ex. Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan. Yeah.
Okay. Brendan.
I know Alex is the kid she has a crush on.
Yes, yes.
that freaking music.
I love that song. it's perfect. And I liked what they did with it this season, too. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But her thing is her family is splitting, and she's depressed. And I think throughout the season, we kind of see her do different things that are a nice outlet for her that maybe build up her confidence. So the first thing is wrestling, surprisingly. She had no intention of joining the wrestling team.
Yeah.
But then she goes to Maya's house and her brother and friend are watching wrestling. And I used to watch wrestling. So I know who Trish Stratus is. I know that name. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she was like a huge thing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that. I really enjoyed that moment where she's fantasizing wrestling and she's in the wrestling getup. That's like from like. WWF, like,
yeah, I was like, oh my God, she got that fishnet stuff and whatever.
No,
and
no.
Then like the person's in the who was it? Was it Alex was in the room with her?
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, now it's a fantasy, but I thought she was still wearing that, and
no.
Then I was like, oh no, it was all made up.
Yeah, and but you could see that she feels like more confident in that. That's something that like. Maybe she's putting all her energy into.
Sorry, I felt like. It was, to me, more about her anger and getting that anger out and frustration.
That could be it, too. Like, getting the frustration out through something. And it was wrestling for her, at least in
and
that episode.
And her having control.
Yeah.
You know.
Which we later see her do as a... is it like a techie? Was she kept referring to herself as? Okay, we'll get to that later. But I think she, obviously, it's very helpful for her to be doing something to take her mind off of what's going on at home.
Yeah.
And, so the first two episodes, very interesting that they're dealing with Maya's obsession and Anna trying to figure out what Anna dealing with her feelings about her family splitting and trying to figure out what's going to help her be happy. The next episode, Vendi Wickany, I think was just hilarious. I think many people experience, I'm sure there, obviously there are a lot of adults that also, I'm sorry. I don't know if it's practicing Wicca or believe in Wicca. I don't know how to say it, but point is some form of witchcraft, whatever. But I think it's very popular when you're young as well, like for some people, where it's just a way to express yourself. It feels like, oh, everything has a reason and I'm in control. If I study this material enough, I can make this person do this thing, or I can stop this feeling or whatever.
Yeah, I remember that kind of thing in middle school with some girls, and I was just like, what the heck is that? And
I'm trying to come from it from a very understanding position. Like, what is this? Like, what are you doing?
So watching this, I finally started to sort of get it, at least the way it was portraying it here.
Yes.
I was like, okay, I see what's going on here. From an emotional perspective of, like, why and, like, what they were doing. Because it's portrayed in the episode at how, like, all of a sudden they're, like, experts in this thing. And, in middle school, I'm like, how is this girl, like, an expert in this thing now? Like, what the heck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And you see that, you know, they just kind of, like, make up these things and then kind of get each other to go along with it, and we're like, yeah, this is how you do it, because I just said that, or I just got a book, and yeah, we're going to go off of that or something, which at least makes a little more sense.
It makes a little more sense, but it's always very convenient to be like, oh, but if I change it, then it means this, you know?
We both know this, this chant, because, you know, I'm just saying words and then you're repeating them, and then, you know, they happen to go on to the next word and, you know, we're on the same page, and we're doing a chant that's totally a thing, you know, like,
yeah.
So I thought it was really good how they portrayed that, and I was like, okay, I see. It's just like, yeah, just confident that this is how you do it, and something happened and we can relate it back to it, so it's working, and, you know,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I think it's very interesting. Like, the beginning of that episode is Anna's parents fighting. And you could hear it in the other room. They're trying to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? Which, again, is kind of in the spirit of this whole witchy atmosphere, right?
Yeah.
And then Maya hears, like, there's, like, a very loud noise that's going on because they're really fighting. And Maya pulls Anna out of there. Mm-hmm. And just, it's also funny because I heard them explain this in the interview that I keep referencing, but also when the fight is really bad and Anna apologizes, she's like, oh, I'm really sorry. And then Maya's like, what? I'm like, I'm just like so into this episode. I can't even like hear anything else. Like, it's just like, yeah, you hear everything, but you're being really nice and trying to pretend like it's not happening.
Nope, that definitely is a thing.
Exactly. It's just like completely ignoring it. And so when they leave, or when Maya helps Anna leave the house and they run and they go into the woods, I was kind of like, how far are they running? In seventh grade, like, where would you be going? Like, you know, like, and I think it's very interesting because by the end of the episode, I think we kind of realized they just went into the backyard. They never really went into the woods.
You think even when they ran, they were just running in the backyard?
I think they just ran outside in the backyard. I kind of think that because...
Yeah, maybe.
All of a sudden, it was just this, like, wooded, dense wooded area with no house around. And,
like,
at first, I didn't question it. But then by the end, it's like, when they were, like, sneaking out at night, it's like, oh, wow, there's no way they would have done... And that Maya would have felt comfortable sneaking out at night to go into the woods...
Yeah.
No, but Maya sneaking out, going to her friend's house who lives down the street or something.
Yeah.
That makes more sense. Anyway, so they see that Wendy Vickany card or whatever. Yeah. They're like, yes, but V's sometimes are like W's. And their logic is just like, what is happening?
You know what I thought?
What?
I thought once we saw that was the backyard, I was like, oh, no, that's... the dad's somebody he's cheating with.
I I didn't think that, but I now think, oh, maybe that was the person who helped him find his apartment. In the later season, or later in the season, he mentions, oh, I have a new apartment. I'm going
to
be...
No, he said he needs to start looking for one. I don't think so.
Oh, I thought he said, I found an apartment and you're going to have to decide who you're going to live with.
He said... I'm pretty sure he said, I'm going to have to start looking for an apartment.
Oh, regardless.
Either way, I don't know why we're talking about that.
I don't know why you're doing it, because I really wasn't trying.
Hey, you were doing it, too.
Anyway, let's
hey,
keep going.
Listeners, let us know.
Listeners are like, you guys need to cool it. Like, yeah. Anyway, but that episode, they embrace the witchcraft that they're learning. And also start dressing differently.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's about that. I think this is also highlighting some of Anna's depression as well, because mm-hmm. one of her wishes, while Maya's wish is like, well, I'll start with Anna. Anna's wish is, I want to never have been in love with Alex. Which is like, you would think that it'd be the other way around, because she has this huge crush on him. Maybe her wish would be, I want him to love me.
Yeah.
But instead she's just like, oh, I wish I never liked him, because I think she's finally realizing, like, this kid, like that one time in episode one when he's reading the note that Brendan sent her, and it's like, oh, yeah, Brendan likes Anna, blah, blah.
And he's like, who's Anna?
Yeah, and he's like, who's Anna? And she's just like, wow, okay, that's things. Like, you know, like, like this kid is like totally not aware of her. And so her wish, but her spell that she wants to do is not be in love with him. And then Maya's...
Well, and for her parents to get back together.
Yes, that's another one of her wishes. And
I thought Maya was going to say something about that when she said
No, they're fully embracing that this can actually solve things. And so Maya is like, I want my dad to come home. And you know what? Instead of me saying I don't want to like Brant, how about he like me and we are a couple, you know, like, so she's like still fully in that whole crush. And you know, her dad comes home surprise, like just as a surprise. And so she's like, we're witches. It worked.
Yeah.
And then Anna sees like hers didn't work because her parents are still fighting. She has some hope because she hears them like sleep with each other or something. So she thinks, oh, they're back together. It is working. But by the end of the episode, they're not. And yeah, and that's going to come up in the next episode. But the thing that I think was showcasing her depression specifically was at that end of the episode when she's like, meet me, we're going to run away and blah, blah, blah. And when she's doing her spell, she's like, I want to disappear. I don't want to exist anymore.
Yeah.
And that is very telling that someone is depressed when they're talking like that and saying that they don't want to be around and they wish they didn't exist and they wish they could disappear and if they were gone, everything would be better, blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah,
like,
I forget what it was specifically, but she said something about like it being her fault or something, but not in the normal classic way I'm familiar with it's like, oh, it's my fault my parents are getting a divorce, but there was some type of blame she placed on herself for the situation. And it was interesting because it was more real, I think, than some of the ones where it's just like, oh, it's my fault my parents are getting a divorce. And it's like some people feel that way, but a lot of times it's not that, but you still feel something like that.
I think when she was talking to her parents, I think in this episode, I forget, but at some point she's talking to them. And she's like, well, she says something about her mom being a slut or something like that to her face or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she is just kind of like, oh, so you guys are just not getting back together. And the mom is like, you cannot be eavesdropping on us.
That sounds like a wrestling mood.
I know. I was like, what am I saying
right
now?
Did I say wrestling mood?
We can't talk anymore. let's just stop the podcast now. And they're trying to have a conversation with Anna, but I think she thinks because she kind of called them out on that, that somehow she ruined it and is blaming herself. Maybe I think that was kind of the beginning of that. But I hear what you're saying, that she blames herself not in the traditional way, like, oh, it's my fault, my parents are getting a divorce way.
Yeah.
But she's really dealing with this, and it's a difficult thing. And Maya sees her saying she wishes she wasn't there. And it obviously makes her really sad because Maya loves her and wants her friend there, and maybe isn't able to fully understand that her friend is experiencing like depression, but she knows that like, no, this isn't good that you're wishing you weren't there. And as much as they kept playing into each other's stuff all episode, Maya stops and she's like, no, you're not disappearing. You're here. You're not going anywhere. You know, like,
yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, you know, she cut herself to be able to do the spell.
Yes.
And then Maya's like, yeah, I'm not going to cut
myself. I think the moment she saw the knife and blood, she's like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
We were having
fun. But then she was still going along with it, even while she said the disappear thing. But then as it became
more real
and she kept saying things, she's like, okay. You know, so, yeah.
Yeah. And then that's when we see that they're not really in the woods. They're actually in her backyard.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought that was a great episode. And this is the beginning of me just feeling like, man, I feel so sad for Anna.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, you know, this is a conversation we don't really need to get too into. But, you know, divorce, like, you and I both have parents that are divorced. And, you know, I think that now in 2020, people realize that, like, okay, maybe when you're getting divorced, you shouldn't involve the kid. Like, the kid shouldn't be, like, witnessing all of this, or you shouldn't be, like, engaging in conversations about your divorce with your kid, right?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say that people don't do that still.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that still happens. But I think the awareness is more out there now versus in 2000.
I hope.
I think it's talked about so much, and the fact that many people who are married today might also have had divorces in their life and remember that feeling. So, like, I think it's a little bit more known today. In 2000, though, I don't think it was. And so, you know, this stuff, the way that they're talking to each other, like, you know, just it's involving Anna. It's putting her in the middle. It's not great. And she feels awful about it. So, yeah, I just thought they did a great job, and I just felt horrible for her. Okay, so the next two episodes, which I'll just kind of combine, is episode 4 and 5, 3, and Sleepover. So this is the new girl, which I don't remember her name. I'll try to look it up as we're talking.
Is Nora or Mora?
Okay, let's go with Mora, but I'll try to look it up as we're talking.
Okay.
But, yeah, so this is when they get a new friend all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. Crazy. We did not know that she was at the school. We've never seen her a day in our life.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden she's there, and she is a little obsessive. Mora. That's the girl's name.
That's what I thought.
She's a little obsessive as well. Mm-hmm. And very possessive.
And extremely rude and poorly behaved.
This girl called her mom a cunt in front of and it was like, whoa, okay. And I think we can all relate to either witnessing a friend at a young age call their parent something in front of their parent, like something you would never do, or just witnessing someone at a young age do that, and you're like, what the heck is going on? You know, like, even you as a child, you were like, oh my god, what just happened? Yeah.
And also, to a lesser degree, but another concept that's covered in the show, you may be hanging out with a new friend and adopting some things from their behaviors, and then your parents being like, I don't like the influence that that kid has on you, and blah, blah, blah.
Yes, I think that Mora has this whole thing, like, she sticks up for them when they're getting made fun of, because I didn't even mention all that stuff about the boys making fun. We'll get to the secondary characters, I think, at the end. But, like, I just want to focus on Maya and Anna. But Mora sticks up for them. So it's kind of like, oh, cool. And she's like, oh, blah, 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 fool. And then they start saying fool. And then, like, just different language alone they start saying, because it's new and it sounds cool to them.
Yeah.
but also their behavior is not great. And, you know, it's hard because I know everybody has different parenting styles. We are not parents. I don't like it when people try to say, you should do this, like, because everything's different. However, this girl calling her mom a cunt and the mom just be like, Maura was
she didn't
wild.
Even do that.
Yeah.
She was just like,
The mom seemed embarrassed, but then did nothing and walked away.
Yeah.
And it was definitely hard to watch. And so, and I think hard for Maya and Anna also to be like, oh my God, like what the heck? And they know, I don't think they truly understood what the word meant, but they knew it was a bad word.
Yeah.
Right. And they also go to Maura's house and think like, this is cool. You have an intercom and you have all this Powerade. And like,
she's like, do you want anything to drink? Blah, blah, blah. Powerade? Yeah. How many? Three.
Yeah, and it's just like, no.
Like, what are you doing with three?
And then Anna's like, what are you doing? And she's like, how many do you want, Anna? And she's like, three. And it's like,
that's totally accurate, though.
I think it's very accurate when you go to somebody else's house and it's like, oh my God, is this a grocery store? Like, you just have everything, like all the cool, like, they open up the pantry.
All the stuff my parents don't let me have.
Exactly. What? They open up the pantry and she has like Gushers and like just all the cool snacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was.
Man, Gushers.
That was very relatable. But while they're her friend, you can see that she is having a little. I think they did a good job of not making this girl seem like unhinged. It was almost there, but she seemed more like
a realistic form of unhinged.
Exactly. She seemed more like a girl who hasn't learned how to have friendships that she wasn't constantly manipulating and controlling.
Yep.
So she is constantly manipulating. She's constantly that's how she thinks she maintains these friendships. Right. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it seems like her pattern is she's making these friends and they're very intense and they burn out very quickly because of that.
And it's interesting because, at least in my experience, girls had these types of friendships where all of a sudden, like, you know, I have a little sister and it would be like, oh, this is my best friend. It's like, what the heck? When did you start even talking to them?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like 2 weeks later, oh, I hate her. We're enemies.
Sure.
It's like, what the heck? What just happened? And like, for me and any guys that I knew, and even guys I didn't like at all, but I, you know, all the guys I knew were like friends with the same friends and that didn't change. And, you know, maybe they'll add one to their group or whatever, but that's about it. Like, it did not change rapidly.
There's obviously negatives in both those scenarios, because we see in this show, Sam, is that the kid who likes Maya?
Yeah.
He's trying to get into a new friend group with Brant and the wrestling team, and he's almost there, but they never truly let him in that group.
Yeah.
And so then he goes back to his old friend group that feels kind of like they were thrown away because he wanted to hang out with the cool kids or whatever. Yeah. And you know, he tried a couple times and it failed. And it seemed like by the end of it, he just stopped. Like, he was trying to branch out, but then they weren't ever letting him into that group, really.
Yeah.
And so he went back to his other friends. And so for Maura, Maya, and Anna, it is intense. And it's just, like, very possessive. And you could tell, I think that this happens for many people where maybe they get a new friend, and normally when there's more than two people, obviously, in the friend group, some people are going to click more than others, or there's going to be sometimes those people may hang out without you, or even if you're hanging out together, two people are going to be on the same kind of wavelength. Yeah. Like, you know, like,
That's something I experienced for sure.
Yeah.
As far as hanging out in a friend group. The whole idea of this, of the quick best friends thing, after watching it, I was like, yep, I never would have gone for that. But then then the thinking about it now as well, I'm like, okay, now I can see how that would have happened for some girls and stuff.
Yeah, I think it could happen for someone when it's like you have this person who seems really cool and they come out of nowhere and they are very forward. Because she's immediately like, you want to come over to my house? Like, immediately. Like, you want to hang out with me? You want to do this? Like, it's not this kind of, like, awkwardness. Like, okay, I guess we'll just wait to see who's going to finally ask or if it's just going to happen organically.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, we're friends. If we're friends, we're best friends. And it's like, well, I do like coming over, so yeah, sure.
And it's also like when you find somebody who has all these cool extras.
Yeah.
Like, she has a cool house. She has... she's buying you gifts, you know, like all these cool extras. It's like, well, then I guess I like you. And it's like, or maybe I just like the stuff you're giving me, you know, like, I don't know. But yeah, that episode or those two episodes. Oh, sorry.
It's just so ridiculous that she was like, oh, my friend, and she's in some other state, I forget, and she's a doctor.
Yeah, and
it's like
why
did
you
have to say that?
And she's like, yeah, she's a genius, whatever. And
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Why?
They're like, how is she a doctor? Like, she's like, they're like, is she a genius? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, why? It is one of those types of lies where it's like, you felt it was important to associate yourself with a doctor who lives in Arizona, who's a child, why? You know, like, it's so specific. It's like, why? Anyway, but I think the thing that's also interesting, I think see this in Mean Girls as well, but it was a thing, definitely. I don't know if it's still a thing now. You could still do this, is the secret three-way call.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like, I definitely know I was part of that at one point, at least a secret three-way call. Maybe I didn't ever announce my presence or whatever, but like, I definitely know at one point I was on a three-way call that was not started as a three, you know, it wasn't like, we're all on the call together.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like this weird way of being secretive and controlling and trying to find out like, oh, what does this person really think of me?
Yeah, that's totally the drama stuff.
It's creating a dramatic.
I never did that. Or
okay,
it was
Kyle,
part of it.
Yes, we established it. You were never a child. Got it.
I was a child, but we didn't do dramatic things
years
like
old,
that.
Even now.
No.
Got it.
We did not do dramatic things like that.
Okay.
And now I'm 60 or 80.
Okay.
We
talked
about that.
Great. Anyway. So I think when Anna innocently, but maybe not so innocently, but she thinks, oh, this is gonna be so funny. Let's do a three-way call. And Maya's obviously gonna say that she likes being friends with Maura 10 out of 10. Duh, it's gonna be so funny. She's not even know Maura's there. And then it's like Maya's taking the calls. Oh, thank goodness we finally have a moment alone together. If I'm being honest, I think she's like a four, and then Anna's like, and that whole moment is hilarious because it is also like kind of threatening because Maura's like, were you about to say four? And it's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to get in a fight with you. This isn't something I would have said to your face.
I thought she was gonna say 14.
She's like, four, sure, 10. And
it was worse.
Not natural at all. I
wonder, it's interesting that we didn't see the setup of like how that came about, because I'm wondering, like, did Maura try to convince Anna to do that?
The implication is that Maura, because she's so manipulative the entire time, probably was like, oh, you know what would be cool? Let's call Maya and don't tell her I'm on the phone, but you know,
yeah,
like, I
that's what
I'd
assume
probably what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have this sleepover. And the sleepover is awkward because it is very much like, if there's something about at a certain age when you do a sleepover, like when you're really young, obviously your parents are more part of it and they're coordinating it and they're trying to come up with activities for you. Mm-hmm. But when you're that age, it's kind of like, parents, leave. This is my house now. And I'm in, you know, and it's kind of like this, you get like, I don't know, like a sense of like power, acting as if everything is just like under your control and you are coordinating the events, right? So Maura is just going on and on about like, you have to do this thing and let's do this thing. And we have to stay up. No one's falling asleep.
Yeah.
If you fall asleep, you're going to be messed with. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then you meet this little girl who's like, to Anna, like, are you friends with Maura? And she's like, yeah, we're like best friends. It's like, what about you? It's like, my mom makes me come here. Like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's a bit telling. Yep. Like they were on the same team or something together. I don't know.
I think they were just neighbors.
Yeah, something like that. But in this episode, we see Maura also seems kind of annoyed by them here and there. She's kind of like, oh, you guys are weird and blah, blah, blah. And then it's just not great. It's like this whole weird dynamic that I think gets highlighted where you're always trying to pin someone else against the other person. And it's awkward. I want to go back to kind of some of the themes. Was there anything you wanted to say about this, though, before I keep going?
Yeah, I forget if this was like a... I think this is an end credits thing.
Okay.
Where they had the three-way call with all the moms.
Oh, yeah. It was at the end. It was basically showcasing how Maya's mom wasn't great at actually doing the three-way call.
Yeah, but she thought she could.
Yeah.
But I was interested. I thought they were actually going to do the three-way call, and then I was very interested what they were going to say to Maura's mom and how that conversation would go. But they didn't show it. So I was like, oh, man. Because it's interesting, I guess, one way you could think of it is, like, this is all from the perspective of the kids, and they wouldn't really know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I want to know what my parents would have been doing at that point.
Sure. I think you could tell that Maya's mom and Anna's mom both are understanding, like, okay, they're going through something right now. They're not going to say Maura can't be here, but they also want to establish, like, no, we don't do things like this, like, whatever. Like, you see several times, like, when Maura's over and Maya feels left out, Maya doesn't want to admit that she feels left out because it would be kind of proving her mom right.
Yeah, yeah.
But her mom kind of knows that she's right.
Yeah.
And then her mom is like, hey, pick up this mess. And then Maya's like, whatever. It's totally cool. And then her mom's like, you're showing off in front of your friends, and you have to stop, and you need to clean this up.
And thankfully, she has another language she can speak.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, whatever. Like, I would, whatever. But point is, like, I would totally be like, can you stop this? Like, you know, like, you see another thing, like, Maura being like, your mom's accent, da da. And it's like,
yeah.
What's going on? And it's just like, you do not know this girl. She obviously isn't exposed to, like, other things, and she's not really, like, nice. She's just, like, not, you know.
Did she say her accent was scary?
She said her accent was scary and, like, whatever. It was just, like, not good. But, yeah, so Maya's whole thing. The other thing I thought was interesting that we should get into is that thrift store moment where they're obsessed with Maura, but Maura's not there. Before, when they were trying to take them, Maura gets in the car. I want to go.
How'd you know that was a thrift store?
Oh, it was a thrift store, yeah.
How'd you know that?
Because they're finding random items. Like, oh, there's a Tommy Hilfiger shirt here. Whoa, this is real. Okay. Like, you know, yeah. But before, when they're trying to get in the car and Maura tries to get in the car with them, I definitely...
Oh, my God.
Like... As a parent, I'm sure that's very frustrating when it's like, no, we need to go. And it's like, oh, could she come? Oh, my gosh, she could come. Like, oh, I could just sit on this. And it's like, no. And the patience that Anna's mom had and not just being like, get the fuck out of this car. Like, just like I was amazed by that. But yeah, so they go to the thrift store and they're being very like, this is totally loaded. Like, you know, they're just adopting this new language, whatever. But then the moment comes where it's like this interaction between their mom and their daughters and like realizing they're growing up to the point where you can't necessarily say, oh, you should wear this outfit. It's so cute. You look like me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, ooh. Like this is the same type of style I like. So you should like it. Right.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, they're definitely not going to like the same style as you, especially at this age. But the other thing on the other end is that as a child, they're like, oh, well, I want to wear this thing that's like totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's like not functional. I want to wear this T-shirt as a dress.
Yeah.
And
I mean, like, well, thankfully she's going that way and not like a lot of girls at that age are like, oh, I want to wear like a skirt that's all the way up to like, you know.
Sure. You know. Whatever. Yeah. But point is, like, they're having this conversation about like this stuff that really is about them as like mothers and daughters and their relationship kind of changing at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Maya
respect
and
as well.
Sorry?
Respect as well coming from
okay,
Maura's
and then
influence.
Anna is like, I don't want to wear like, I don't want to dress like this. It's slutty.
Yeah.
And then her mom's like, well, I dress like this. What are you saying? And she's just like, And then later is like, yeah, you're a slut. You're blah, blah, blah. And a lot of the first few episodes are about slut shaming.
Yeah.
Maya and Anna are slut shamed. They feel devastated by it. But then, of course, they do it to other people and to their own parents.
Yeah.
Or at least Anna does, right?
Yeah.
And it's very like, wow. And I think it's highlighting, you know, nobody is going to be like the perfect person. There's problematic things throughout this, right? And problematic beliefs that people have. And one of them would be this idea of women or girls having to, they have to have a boyfriend, but they can't be sexual in any way, even though that's what they want to do and that's what they would like to, you know, like it's just this whole image thing. And the fact that she said that to her mom is kind of revealing how she views her mom. Like, oh, you just slept with my dad. How many people do you just sleep with? Da, da, da. Because her idea of sex is very romanticized to be like, it needs to be the right, you know, like, which I'm not trying to say that's good or bad. I'm just trying to say it's a bit juvenile.
Well, I think it was more about the divorce and the anger she had towards her, and she was taking the side of her dad.
Yes.
And felt like her mom was doing
things. I think for majority of the season, she was taking the side of her dad.
Yeah.
And was very much like, oh, it's your fault. You're the reason why. And what was really annoying to see was that her dad was just like, yeah.
Yeah, and that totally happened.
Wouldn't speak up, wouldn't say anything, just be like, yeah, you nailed it. Like, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but yeah, that thrift store scene, I think, also shows a bit of a cultural difference between Maya and Anna as well, because Maya, I think Maya's mom is like, you're being a little bitch. And it's like,
ooh. Yeah. I was like, whoa.
It's like, yeah. You know, it's just like, she is being a little bitch. And then Maya, I think, says, no, you're a bitch.
Yeah.
And then her mom's like,
and
I'm
instantly
sorry.
Says, like, I didn't mean it. Like,
because she knows what's about to happen, which is she gets spanked publicly.
Yeah.
Now, I know some people are going to be like, that's not good, blah, blah. I'm just going to say culturally, it's very different. I think there are certain parenting styles and cultural things where it's like, if your child is acting up, they're not going to be embarrassed to do that in front of everyone. And her mom was like, okay, you thought you could just talk to me like that? Okay.
Yeah.
And Maya's really embarrassed. And she's like, I'm going to call the police. And then Anna's like, see what you did, mom, like blaming her mom for something that has nothing. So it's like this whole, it was very interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Because I think Maya, as much as she's trying to rebel or whatever, at the end of the day, like her speaking to her mom like that is just, it doesn't happen. Yeah. Right. And I guess for Anna, she can speak to her mom like that because that's the type of relationship they have, I guess. And as much as her mom was hurt by that, her mom didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say, you can't talk to me like that. I think she was kind of saying, like, don't talk to me like that. But that was the extent of it. And it kind of.
And she's very mild mannered with her. So.
Yeah. So that was just wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that we should mention, I know, we're just like, okay, is the period stuff, which we kind of talked about at the end of season one.
Mm-hmm.
But Maya's been hiding that, and it's revealed in the sleepover when they're all being annoying. Maura's being very annoying.
Yeah.
Wakes everyone up to be like, the toilet's clogged, blah, blah, blah. And Maya her period slips out of her pajama pants.
Her period?
Or sorry, her pad.
Like what?
Her pad, sorry. Her period just slips right out.
I was like, I don't know as much as you, but that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, periods slip out. Yeah. That happens all the time.
I need to learn some more things.
But yeah, so she is really embarrassed because it was something that she didn't want to talk about with anyone.
And she hadn't let Anna know,
and she, yeah,
who's her best friend, and now this whole group of people knows at the same time as Anna, so the that's whole, like the especially
whole,
bad.
The whole thing in season one between Maya and Anna was that we are doing everything together.
Yeah.
We're going to take our first steps into school together.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have our first kisses together. And we're also probably going to have our periods together, apparently. And that didn't happen, of course, because that couldn't happen. And Maya hides it, I think also because she later has a conversation with her mom about being like, oh, I didn't tell Anna and I was keeping a secret from her. And her mom's like, there's a difference between secrets and privacy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You having your period is a private thing that if you don't want to share that, that's okay. You don't have to, she doesn't have to know you're on your period. Not that you have to lie about it, but it's also like you guys shouldn't even be having that conversation unless you're both comfortable with it, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a good moment because I think at a young age, people could be like, oh, they were holding secrets and they were lying about this. And it's like, no, at a certain point, there's like a personal level of privacy that you just don't feel comfortable sharing every single thing about yourself with another person. So yeah, and that period moment's very dramatic, just like a lot of things in the sleepover. And then Maura and Anna are hanging out, and Anna finds out that Maura was lying about this doctor friend because it's a snippet from an ad. And then Maya and Anna kind of get back together and they're like, yeah, Maura's weird, blah, blah, blah. I think these two episodes were very interesting to see a new person enter their group and exit their group so quickly.
Yeah.
And that happens, that especially at that age, I think. And the fact that their parents were trying to kind of warn them, like, hey, maybe cool it off. And they're like, what are you talking about? She's my best friend. Why would I cool it off? That's that. The next or the last two episodes, Play and Opening Night, I think were very interesting. This is, again, a continuation, I think, for Anna finding something to put her feelings into by being, she wanted to be in the play. She didn't get it. We do have to talk about one scene that I think, for as much as we're like, this show's great or whatever, I think we were both like, I'm speechless. When Maya gets into the play and Anna really wants to get there and Maya's trying to kind of act like a baby and is sad.
Oh, yeah.
And then they have this thing and she's like, okay, do you want a tea? And throughout the show, we have seen them pretend to be parents.
Do you want a latch?
Yeah, do you want a latch? Yeah, not teeth. Sorry, that would be crazier.
Yeah.
Throughout the show, we've seen them kind of act like parents. Like, even when they were at Morris, they're like, oh my God, my husband just wants to have sex with me all the time. It's like so crazy. You know, like their idea of adulthood and parenting is a little extreme.
Yeah.
But they also have this moment where she's like, okay, oh my gosh, you want to latch? Okay. And Maya acts like a baby, like latching to her mom. But then what we see is a boob. And Maya.
Why'd you say it like that?
I'm just saying, it's just like, whoa. It is just shocking because, like, while I don't think we have seen nudity before, we haven't seen, like, full nudity on the show before.
No.
Like, the thong episode, we saw, like, when she was wearing a thong, it insert to, like, somebody else's butt because, obviously, she thinks, like, oh, I'm grown and this is what I look like now.
Yeah.
We saw that, but, like,
also in one of the end credits things here, they show like animated, very real looking vaginas.
Oh yes, that's what at the beginning of the show, which we kind of glazed over this in the first few episodes when they gave them those nicknames, like something something bush, like smelly bush, and they were feeling insecure.
Big smelly bush? Yeah.
Yeah. They were feeling insecure about their vaginas because these guys all of a sudden just start making fun of them. And then they like spray perfume on them. Like, I think honestly, this season is highlighting just like how women are treated throughout.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout their entire lives, but specifically when you're going through puberty and you're being told that everything about you is bad.
Yeah.
Just naturally, just everything about you is bad. Like, you are going through puberty, so you're getting pubic hair. Okay, that's bad. You're bad. It's gross. Yeah. It's hairy. That's disgusting. Blah, blah. You know? And it's like, oh, it smells bad. It's like, okay, well, maybe spraying perfume directly into my vagina, that's a good thing?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not. Like, yeah. So that moment didn't... I was just like, okay, yeah. They were looking at their vaginas and trying to, like...
Yeah.
Something that they had never done before. But the teething moment, I was speechless. I was like, what just happened?
Yeah. Again, not... teething.
Oh my god, I keep saying teething.
Yeah,
and I
why
mean
are you
latching.
Doing that?
I don't know, but it is still disturbing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The latching moment was jarring, I guess.
Yeah. I think both of us were not really a fan of that. It was also confusing because it was like it obviously I guess was like a fantasy-ish
it was
thing?
More of like what they think they're doing versus the reality is that she's just acting it out and that's not really happening.
I mean, I don't know though. Is it like, did she say, do you want to latch? And like, did that, but
yeah,
didn't
I think
actually
she's like, do you
want
to latch? And I think it's just like,
I don't know
continuing
though.
to act as if they're parenting, I think.
No, I didn't get that feeling. I felt like they were just acting, she was acting like a baby, and
yes,
then
yes,
the show took it to the point of saying like, oh, she's being like an actual baby, but that none of that happened.
I thought I heard Anna say latch, so I could be wrong. Point is, it was a jarring, shocking moment just
yes,
because
it was jarring and shocking, but also I feel like it wasn't communicated that well.
Possibly, yes, especially since we're both having kind of slightly different interpretations of it. Yeah. But anyway, that was just a moment I felt like we should highlight because I'm curious if anybody else was like, whoa, okay,
yeah,
there's a boob
like,
on TV.
I feel like there was a moment, not as crazy, but similarly confusing and stuff in the last season as well, but I can't remember what it would have been.
Yeah, I don't know which one you're referring to, but okay, so the play, they are doing this play that this teacher decides to do, which like... I was not in drama or anything when I was in school, so I don't know if a lot of people are used to having plays that were written by teachers, like not like...
We did not have that.
Okay, I think there are some... I have heard people doing like plays that would be inappropriate for people to do at a certain age, but doing a play where it's like... I don't even know what the plot of this play was. It's like somebody's getting a divorce. They're smoking. They're abusing each other, like hitting each other. Like all these things are happening. And this guy is like, so like, yeah, this is my work. And he really is thinking he's like this great dramatic teacher by like making them do exercises. Like, so which one in the group sucks?
That like, was a weird thing, and I was like, what the heck?
He's
like, what teacher would do that?
It's a teacher who is a failed playwright who thinks they're better than what they are.
But I mean, that's such an odd exercise.
It's a horrible exercise. Yeah. Obviously, it's a way to...
I felt that that's another one where I felt like that was a little contrived. Where
really, I just thought it was highlighting the delusions of...
No, but I don't think any teacher would do that because it just doesn't make any sense. Like,
my point
is, hey, let me pick one of you to degrade the other and no one else do it after that. Just one person so that one person just feels like crap.
It's honestly,
like so very obviously terrible.
Sure. I honestly think it's just a guy who is a little drunk with power, who failed at his first career as a playwright or an actor, and thinks that this is his break.
I agree with all that.
But
I still think that didn't make any sense.
Sure. But Maya's upset she didn't get it into the play. but she ends up
Anna.
Yes, I misspoke. Yeah. But she ends up slowly being part of the tech crew who are going to be running the play. And it's very interesting to see the divide between the actor and the technical aspects of this, which is something that I have heard reference to, but I personally have never witnessed. You, Kyle, were in plays and drama stuff, and you did both things, right? You were an actor in some stuff, and then you did technical stuff, right?
Correct, yeah. So, and so I saw both sides.
So you saw both sides of this, and I've also seen, like, the working, like, with technical people being like, ugh, eye roll these actors. They don't know what they're doing. They're just going to come around, yeah, running around barefoot, and we're going to have to tell them to stop, you know? Like,
that's definitely a thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, just talk into the freaking microphone. Like, what is wrong with these people? You know?
And find your light. And then she's like, you're going to get the warmth. And she's like, I'm not feeling warm right now. It's just like...
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I think was a little weird and didn't really make sense or was realistic was that the tech crew is running the rehearsals. Now, sort of, kind of, like, dress rehearsals, the tech crew may say things as far as, like, oh, can we run that again? We need to, like, make sure the lights are right or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the director of the play, which it seemed like there was no director, should be there running it. So that was a little odd, but
sure,
you know, that's, it's fine. It pretty much got it, and it just dramatized it a little more, and it was funny.
Yeah, so they have a bit of a divide here. The only thing that I would say I wanted more of was Maya's interaction with Gabe and Maya talking to Anna about Gabe. We didn't really get to see that because all of a sudden Maya has to kiss Gabe as part of the play. She's like, wow, I don't want my first kiss to be through the play. I want it to be with someone who I love, you know, like whatever. And Maya.
Did Maya say that?
Yeah.
Because I know Gabe was saying, oh, I'm going to have my first kiss. And somebody was like, oh, but it's not real. It
Sam
doesn't count.
Said that. Yeah,
if you're in the play. And then he's like, oh, okay, so I better make her my girlfriend.
Oh, I think Gabe's reaction was like, well, whatever, Maya's hot, so I don't care. Like, that was his first reaction. We're going to get to Gabe.
Yeah, but then he's like, oh, crap, I need to make her my girlfriend so it does count.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think maybe let's get to Gabe now, because this, it's going to be hard to talk about this. Throughout the season and even last season, there were references to Gabe's sexuality. There's a moment in season one where Alex is single and everybody's talking about it. And then the teacher's like, okay, so everyone heard the big news? And Gabe's like, yeah, Alex is single. And it's dead quiet. And he's like, that would be cool for the girls. Like, so he said, and you're kind of like, huh, but don't really think it's never, ever referenced again, I think, in the season.
Yeah. I just thought he was a funny kid.
Yeah. I thought he was just like, yeah, I'm into gossip and I'm talking about
the
school gossip right now. But then in this season, we see there are definitely more scenes devoted to the guys and specifically Gabe and what he's experiencing. So we see that Gabe is wanting to hang out with Sam. Sam's kind of throwing them off. And then you eventually realize, like, oh, Gabe likes Sam. Like, he has a crush on him.
Yeah.
There's that moment where they're, like, watching porn and, like, Gabe is kind of, like, there, but you could see that he's actually thinking about Sam. You know, like there's just, like, you could tell that he likes him. So when we finally get to this play, we know, I apologize, I'm glazing over one other thing, is that there's a lot of, like, homophobic talk about, like, the class gossip. Oh, it's going to be that one kid. Oh, why is that one kid? Oh, well, rumor is he's gay, so he would be the gossip.
Yeah.
And Gabe's fear, you could see it on the paper, is like, oh, what if they put me as the gossip and then people know that I'm gay? And so...
I didn't quite connect it completely at the time, but
he's basically just like wanting to make sure that he's not perceived as gay. He is in the closet, and that other kid who I cannot find his name, he is
I think it might be Ian.
Okay, we'll just say Ian, but not sure. He is kind of... I don't know if Ian... First off, we never know if Ian is gay. It's never confirmed if he's gay or not. But...
Yeah, I guess it's not totally confirmed.
I think the implications are that he is, because there's a moment where... I forget what started this, but someone says something in front of Ian and Gabe. And then Gabe drops, like, the F slur.
Yeah.
And you could tell that Ian doesn't say anything. And he doesn't say anything like he's co-signing. Like, yeah, that's an appropriate reaction. He's kind of quiet, like, oh, okay.
Well, because he... before that was talking to Gabe,
complimenting his hair, like, oh, you should do your hair like that or something, right?
I think that was a scene before. Okay. There was that, which was like indicating maybe he's interested in him, and then he came up to him at the water fountain, and that was showing his interest in him, and then he uses that slur and he's like, and he backs away.
Yeah, so Gabe's whole thing throughout the play is that I think the reason why he's like, oh, I want her to be my girlfriend is because he wants to make sure that no one is perceiving him as gay.
Yeah.
But he also wants to prolong the kiss as much as possible. He does not want to kiss Maya. He's very nervous about it. And I think he keeps saying, oh, okay, why don't we really kiss as boyfriend and girlfriend?
Well, and it switches, though.
Okay.
So, at first... he makes her his girlfriend because he wants the kiss on stage to count so he cannot be labeled as gay.
Exactly. So it wasn't now, just, oh, you only got a kiss because you were supposed to.
And then he was like, oh, you know, if that one's not going to count, like, we should do it up front. So let me make her my girlfriend. And then he brings up, like, hey, we should get together and, like, we should kiss beforehand. Mm-hmm. And he wants to do that. Then when it comes time to actually do it, he's too nervous and just can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then he starts just prolonging and he's like, I can't do this. And just, like, you know, doesn't do it on stage even.
Yeah.
And, of course, which makes Maya feel terrible. Like, wow, he won't kiss me at all. And, like... would rather suffer the embarrassment of not kissing me on stage than actually kissing me.
Yeah. We also see a moment earlier where he coughs and the full panic the teacher has. Where he's like, okay, no one's getting sick. We're all going to stop. You cannot get sick before the play. It's very important. So it's like this whole panic. And then he goes home and Maya surprises him and brings like soup. And she also brings masks, which I'm like, this feels very COVID. And obviously that was not the intention, but it just feels very of the moment. But you're like, she, they have this moment where they're looking up at his ceiling and he has like these butterflies on the ceiling. And you could tell that she's like excited and has a butterfly in her stomach feeling. And you could see the butterflies flutter, you know. But for him, it's more of like a dizzy, like, off balanced feeling. It's not a flutter happy feeling. Basically Gabe's whole thing is just him trying to hide his identity as a gay person, but also make sure that everyone knows that he accomplished something because he has a girlfriend. And you could also see a moment with his parents where his mom's like, oh my gosh, she's so lovely. And then she's like, this is so great, like, good for you, you know? But then when he's on stage performing, you could see the parents kind of be like, they look a little horrified. And not horrified because the play is horrible, because it is, but they seemed a little like, he's too into it.
I didn't pick up on that.
I think they were a little like, he's too into acting, which I think many parents, if they are homophobic or afraid their child is gay or whatever, any theatrical thing they're in is like, oh no, they're like doing too much or something. And because you see Gabe look at them and see that they're looking at him that way, and
Okay.
And by the way, Gabe, there's a moment where he's like, what are you going to do? Divorce me?
Yeah.
And it's so good.
So good. In the practice.
But he is a good actor.
Yeah.
This kid is a good actor, and he's good at acting like a good actor in the play, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
Yeah. That was very funny.
Yeah. So.
What are you going to do? Divorce me?
Yeah. And it's just like, wow, he is... amazing. I'm going to try to get that clip and put it online so everyone
can
see it.
That was like when they were speeding through it.
Yeah, too. When they kept doing different things.
And Maya's like doing like all the lines really quickly. And that was funny. It's nice because it kind of gives Maya, the actor, a chance to do some like real acting in there too. And
she
takes the opportunity for that. And then like at the same time, Anna also gets to actually sing a little bit at different times.
Yes.
Kind of, you know.
There's a moment where Maya is practicing for her part in her room. And it's like, you know, the lights cut out and there's just like one light on her. And she has like a perfect wig, like everything. And she's like really doing a good job acting. Mm-hmm. And of course, that is not what she does on stage. It's never like that. But you could see that that's what she's envisioning. Like she's viewing herself not as a seventh grader, but as this middle-aged woman who whatever this play is. Like, I don't freaking know, but... So anyway, the main thing is just them kind of doing, their different roles. Maya's the actor. And again, I think for Anna, it's just nice to see her. She gets really into being a techie. I thought it was interesting that the other kids were like, you want some duct tape? And I don't know if it was like this for you, but at least when I was in high school, a few years later after this, you know, duct tape was like really popular. Like making wallets out of duct tape. I think people were making prom dresses out of duct tape. Oh, and like
we didn't have anything like that, but wallets for sure. But also as a techie, you would always have duct tape.
Of course, that's true as well. But I just remember duct tape being trendy or like cool for a certain amount of time, like whatever. But yeah, it was just interesting to see Anna get really involved in something that she felt really good about. It was nice to see her be really happy because most of the time she wasn't. And
then, you know, they were at odds with each other, which was interesting to see as well. And then it was nice seeing them come together, her saving her performance. And
yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, so...
And I thought it was really good how then they brought it back and... had Anna reconcile with her mom and everything too, and because of the glitter she gave her, and it worked out, and it was not clear to me the other times. It like I think I don't know if it was season one, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did seem like the dad was kind of, you know, the person who was, you know, I don't know, less insane or whatever, and like the mom was causing all the problems or something, because it was like, oh, the dad's still there at the show, but the mom left, you know?
Sure.
And so the first season, you're kind of seeing it like that. But then the other weird thing is like, oh, he's like, oh, I should have gotten you flowers. Whoops. And so then you're like, huh, I don't know.
I think it's very... It's difficult because
I
think the mom is a bit of a character.
Yeah.
So, like, you immediately are like, oh, it's the mom. The mom is causing these issues.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they both are getting divorced because they both are having issues. And I don't think it's worth even going into, like, who's to blame or, like, what was the cause or whatever. Both of them are not doing well in the relationship, right?
Yeah, totally agree. I think the interesting thing is seeing it from the kid's perspective.
Well,
that in the first season, it looks like, oh, the mom is causing all the problems. The dad's here. He's staying here with me and stuff.
I think that's also a dynamic of like heterosexual relationships and how they come across, especially when it comes to parenting. Because I think a lot of times the dad is cool. He's cool. He's just like laid back or whatever. And the mom, oh, she's so high strung and whatever. Like that's like the stereotypical view of it. But I think that also goes into like gender roles and like what is expected from a mom. The expectations of a mom versus a dad stereotypically are very different. where it's like, oh, well, the mom needs to have everything planned. She needs to do all this stuff. Everything is good. And the dad, he should just be there.
Yeah.
He should, like, be there. And it's like, wow, okay.
Well,
you know?
I mean, I'm not so much talking about that, though, but I agree, but I'm just saying, like, the mom left the performance
and he was
there.
No,
so it's more that part of it.
The point I'm trying to get to is that I think for a young girl, there's this thing of, like, daddy's girl. There's this thing of, like, all versus you never really hear, like, mommy's girl. You hear, like, mama's boy, but you never, like, and again, these are all, like, based off of, like, just, like, I guess dated things. So I'm not trying to say that it's 100% accurate. But point is, I think that I think even for a young girl, her expectations from her parents are, well, mom, you're supposed to have everything handled. You're supposed to do all these things. Like, you're, you know, and, like, versus that's why she blames the mom majority throughout these first two seasons. She always gets mad at the mom. She never gets mad at her dad because her dad just comes off like, hey, I'm just here. What's going on? Like,
well, yeah, yeah. So I think that can be part of it. But what I'm trying to say is the first season, because the dad is there and the mom left and he's able to say, oh, she had one of her moods again, blaming it on her and stuff. And so you're seeing it from, like, Anna's perspective of, like, well, my dad's always here and my mom's just causing problems and leaving.
Sure.
But then in this season, we kind of see the other side of it, that the dad, finally the dad's not there and the mom is. And now she starts to see, well, why is the dad not there? Oh,
because he got a new car.
Yeah, and, like, okay, so maybe he's causing problems. And maybe when she was leaving the other times, it was because of this problem between them and stuff. So not saying it's one person's problem or the other's, but the point is that it's both of them and that you can't see it from just one perspective. And so we get to see the mix of the perspectives in this one. So I think
I think by the end of this season, Anna realizes, okay, this is more complex. I've been blaming my mom. I've been mad at my mom.
Yeah.
But then she apologizes to her and says, I'm sorry when dad is mean to you. Because she's finally able to pick up that even though the way that he's mean to her might be more quiet and subtle, he's still being mean to her.
Exactly.
While the mom, maybe when she's being mean to the dad, is more vocal and loud and seems very obvious, right? And so, Anna, she has that conversation with the older guy, the guy who's in high school. And he says something like, oh, my parents are divorced. My mom is the strongest person I know. And I think it is kind of a little bit of a wake-up call for her to be like, oh, wow, I guess my mom is going through stuff too, not just my dad. Like, my mom is also experiencing things. And
And then it was like, it seemed like she was, like, really mad at the dad. And then towards the end, she, you know, the dad's like, oh, we can do this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I think she was starting to see that it's just kind of a thing where it's going to be a problem with both of them. And
it's going to be a complicated situation because at the end of the day, I think for Anna especially, there's a moment where most people, and it can happen at different stages in their life, when they realize that their parents are people and not like perfect and know everything and they are able to do everything. And I think this is Anna's moment realizing, like, wow, okay, maybe I was able to see that my mom is just a person first, but I'm realizing my dad is also a flawed person.
Yeah.
And that, like, that sucks because it takes away that comfort you had. Like, oh, my parents, they'll know what to do. They know everything. They're the best, like, whatever. And then you realize, like, oh, wait a minute, they're a person and they have limitations too, and you know they may not be able to answer everything and solve everything for me anymore. And that's a huge moment for many people because it's like you growing up and realizing like things are more complicated, life is complicated.
Also, I think that moment in the car and her crying and stuff after him saying that she's going to have to pick who she's going to live with and all that. And it's like solidifying that it's the marriage is over.
It's really over.
Yeah. And I don't know exactly what it reminds me of, but I remember having situations where I was in the car and had a friend in the back seat or something, and something intense like that was happening, and like maybe crying or something, and then also vice versa, me being in the car when, you know, my friend was having an intense conversation like that.
Sure. So. Yeah. 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 It's very interesting. I the way it ended. I mean, for Maya, we should say that it ended with her getting dumped, and her thinking it's because, oh, I'm just this unlovable person, you know, yeah. When really Gabe was just like, I'm sorry, I just don't feel those feelings for you. And then we see them driving away and Sam runs off to say bye to her. And yeah. I think that's maybe where 2B, the season next or the next half of the season, will pick up maybe with Sam being interested in her. But yeah, I don't know. I think overall, when the show ended, the reason why when we started this, I was like, I felt sad. It's like, I felt sad for Gabe. I felt sad for Anna because she's like having this experience. Yep. And I feel sad for Maya because she's like, you know, feeling.
She's no self-confidence.
Yeah, has no self-confidence and doesn't understand what's going on with Gabe. But, you know, like.
We didn't really talk about the fact that, you know, she just feels ugly because everyone she wants to be with doesn't want to be with her, you know?
Yeah, I think that your self-image when you're going through puberty is very difficult because you're going through literally the most awkward stage of your life because you are transitioning from a child to an adult, right? Or at uh-huh. least like growing up. And it could be very awkward and painful. And this whole thing about her feeling ugly is like, you know, it doesn't help because she was being picked on by other people at school. But two, she seems to really, she wants to have all these experiences, partially because, you know, they're these experiences that are built up, like getting your first boyfriend, right? Or getting your first kiss.
Yeah.
And Anna has already done all those things, right? And their whole thing was they're going to do it together.
Yeah.
And she's trailing behind, at least, when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So I think that she's just having these experiences where I know we could look at it as adults and be like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, calm down.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In the moment, it feels so big. It feels so like, I'm unlovable. I'm 13 yeah. and no one's ever going to want to be with me. You yeah, know? Yeah. Like
I'm always going to look like this.
Yeah. This circle of people I know, they're going to be in my life forever. And yeah. It's like, okay, yeah. But yeah, overall, the season, I think, was really good. It just, it sucks. I'm realizing now, oh, okay. I was like, oh my God, is this person related to this other actor? And they're not. I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. But yeah, I think that the season as a whole was great. It's definitely more emotional. And I think it really is a reminder for especially adults to be like, yeah, I think sometimes when you think back at middle school, you don't want to think about it because it feels so embarrassing how dramatic everything felt. Like, if you really think about the things that you thought were important at 13,
sure,
you're just like, oh, yuck, what the heck was that about? And you want to just, like, block it out.
Yeah,
versus,
yeah.
Like, high school, obviously there are embarrassing moments, but you were a little bit older. That was maybe a better experience, you know, mm-hmm. like, and because people talk about high school more often, you don't block it out as much,
yeah.
right? So, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was great. I'm very excited to see the next half of the season, which I guess is going to be coming out at some point in 2021. From what I could tell, they have filmed most of the season except like a few parts because they were filming the last half, I guess, when the COVID stuff started popping up and they had to stop production. So I hope they're able to complete it and we get the yeah. season. Early 2021 would be cool. Yeah,
unfortunately, they can't do a COVID episode because it's taking place in the 2000s.
Exactly, so they can't do that.
Yeah.
The other thing is that in that interview, they were asked, how long do you see the show running for? Like, do you intend for your characters to be in seventh grade the entire time? And they said, yes, they want their characters to be in seventh grade the entire time.
Interesting.
Which is obviously difficult for them because the other cast, they are growing up.
Is this a prequel to eighth grade?
No, well, eighth grade takes place in 2018, so no, how would that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, they wanted to take place, and they said that in their first season.
It's a really early prequel.
Sure, they said in their first season they were trying to go over like all the firsts that you have.
Yeah,
and then they realized, well, there's a lot of eventful things that may not be your first, but just are really big things that happen to you. So let's keep going there. And yeah. I think that's kind of what they did in the season. They said
first
that
divorce.
Well, okay. Yeah. They said that they viewed the show being a short show that would be like three seasons.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of implied like maybe the 2B is the third season. Like,
oh.
So I don't know if that means they don't want to do an actual third season or not, but I think they're trying to say like, they see this being a tighter story because they're just talking about 2000, seventh grade. That's it.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm interested to see what else. Is there anything else you want to say about the show or your thoughts?
I have one interesting question to ask you.
Oh, sure.
Do you think when we have kids that they would like watching this show and would understand it?
Yeah.
Like, would it be, or even someone's kids who are kids right now in middle school.
I think that when you're in middle school and you see two adults portraying your age, you're immediately standoffish.
Yeah.
Because you're like, ugh, okay, what would you know? Like, oh, you're just like making fun of me, right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if it would actually interest them to watch this depiction, like,
yeah.
But I honestly feel like I've seen other reviewers say this. I at times forgot that they were 30 something years old, you know, like, in
yeah.
season two.
And I mean, also, like, when Maya did the one part, as the adult,
yeah,
I was like, oh wow, she like looks like a grown woman,
yeah, because she's an adult here,
yeah. Yeah. I'm like, wow, they do a really good job with the makeup and the acting and stuff to really make them look like kids.
I think they do a really good job acting personally, but yeah. I think that when you are 13 and somebody's telling you this is how you act and it's very dramatic,
yeah,
and it's being played by adults, you will be like, I don't want to watch this.
Oh yeah, yeah,
you know?
For sure.
But
yeah.
Like, in theory, would I want our kids to watch something like this? I feel like, yeah, I would want them to know that there are other people experiencing the same things that they're experiencing.
Yeah.
Or at least have empathy for other people who are going through those things, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I wouldn't have any issue with it. And I know that some people would be like, well, it's, like, rated R. It's, like, for adults, you know? But I think the point, the reason why they made this R-rated is because when you're young and 13... people are cursing. People are talking in ways that are like,
yeah,
very sexual. They may not really understand what they're saying, but yeah, they're doing it. And I think it's not fair to not acknowledge that.
Yeah.
When you watch like the Disney Channel, all these like tween shows or whatever are very like happy, and the struggle, while they may be like, oh, I'm sad and oh, I'm crying, it's very nice and tidy and whatever. But like, when you're that age, it's ugly. It's like really hard. It's devastating. It's like emotionally feelings that you've never had before, on top of the way people are speaking is the way they you know, they feel more independent, they feel more grown, they're saying things that they didn't say in the sixth grade, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I personally would feel comfortable with that. I understand why other people would be like, oh, that's too mature. But I just feel like, well, they're already doing that.
Aside from the comfort, I'm just wondering if they would like the show.
Yeah, I wonder if they would like the show.
Or if they'd be like, oh, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
I my only debate if a seventh grader would actually like the show is that watching adults depict them, I feel like they would immediately be like, no.
Well, I wonder if it would be like, you know, we see this stuff and we see, oh, it's so dramatic. Oh, that's hilarious that that's actually important. I wonder how it would read to a kid dealing with that stuff. If like, oh, this is so dramatic and real. And like, yeah, this is the craziest thing.
I think
and
it
like,
would.
What would we say? Would we say, see, isn't that ridiculous? Or
well, I would not do like, isn't that person ridiculous? No, I would not do that. Because I would think that that's what they're experiencing now, so I wouldn't want to say that, you know?
Like, yeah, so it's like, dude, chill out.
No, I wouldn't want to say that. Mm. But yeah, I think that, like eighth grade, I think that movie was also a movie that would be beneficial for eighth graders to see,
for sure.
But it was rated R, which is like ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I think also this, I think anything that's trying to reveal the honest depiction of what young people are experiencing is always beneficial for young people to see.
Yeah.
So yes, I think they would enjoy it as long as it's being authentic.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, but they'll never see it because it's rated TVMA and, you know, like,
well, they totally could see it.
They could see it, I guess, but yeah, if they have like any type of parental guidance controls or whatever, they wouldn't be able to watch it. So,
yeah, with their parents, they could.
Yeah, I wonder how many parents would feel comfortable watching that with their kids.
Yeah, don't know. Yeah. Skip the latch scene. I couldn't say latch scene. That's hard.
Anyway, I think that's it that we have to say about this. I mean, I know we glazed over like some of the characters and stuff, but I think we pretty much hit most of the things we want to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where it goes. I definitely appreciate them saying that they want this to be like kind of a tight series, because I think they have.
You'd love that.
Well, they have. Well, because I like stories that have a story to tell and don't drag on.
Yeah.
I think while this is an important thing to depict, I think it's a short period of your life that it can't keep going, you know, like that would be, they would have to go to eighth grade. They would have to go to ninth grade, you know, like.
I think eighth and ninth grade could have some interesting things too, but. Yeah,
yeah, I think they were commenting like, yeah, it's crazy that I'm 30 something and I'm playing this age. I don't want to keep doing that. So I could see why they were like, let's do something else, you know, like. But yeah, if you watch this,
I don't want to get typecast as a 13-year-old.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, I have to keep playing a 13-year-old all my life.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, if you watch this season, let us know what you thought. If we skipped something, tell us what you wanted us to mention. And yeah, let's end the show. Thank you so much for listening. Please make sure to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and also subscribe. You can follow us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Offscreen Babble. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/offscreenbabble. If you have any suggestions or feedback, please email us at offscreenbabble@gmail.com. All right, bye.
Bye.